Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. We trust you are well and continuing to keep safe and encouraged in the Lord Jesus. This morning, we want to have a special welcome for our children or young people that might come along for church this morning. We're listening in today and at home. We're thinking of Charlie and Naomi and Erwin. Hi there, the Lord be with you. We trust that you're okay and keeping safe. A little later in the service, we'll reflect on what we've learnt and share that with us at the end of the service as we go and finish off with a song. For those who are listening in via our website, either at Chiswick Manor or at Bayswater Gardens or at home or just listening in, a very special welcome to you. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. Also, we here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, we're just a group of normal, ordinary people, aren't we? And from all different ages and backgrounds, we've come to find meaning and purpose for living life God's way and according to God's Word, the Bible. And we invite you and anyone to know God with us and to follow Jesus with us. Involved in the service today is Fiona. She'll be leading our service. Also, Coral will read to us from the Bible, and Tina will lead us in prayer, and our musos are Sam on keyboard. Rosemary, Linda and David are on our song leaders. Thank you. We continue this morning our Bible teaching through the book of Luke, and we're being reminded of the certainty of the things that we've been taught from God's Word about Jesus. Our mission focus for March, and this will be reflected in our prayers, and if you're choosing your giving towards BCA, the Bush Church Aid Society, and particularly the Farsi family, Daniel and Rebecca and Rachel, Jessica and Emily, and if you're listening in, we are praying for you and mindful of you today and this month of March. Our mission focus is on the work in terms of Anglicare care, is on thinking about hospital chaplaincy. And we'll be praying for David and continuing his work in Concord Hospital. So let me pray as we come to worship God together as his people. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation. Engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's stand and let's sing our first song together, No Other Name. This just reminds us that Jesus is the person that we can come to and that he is the cure of our sins, and we'll be listening to that today in Trevor's sermon.
Jesus. victory, but Jesus crucified. No other cure for sin but that our Savior died. No other hope we have but that He rose again. He rose again. My joy in sorrow's tears, my strength to cast out fears, no
seated. I've got a question mark up there today because I'm going to get you to think. That's a bit hard, isn't it? I don't get you to think. I know this early in the morning. But it was really hard to actually think of something like this to get you to think about. That sounds a little bit confusing, doesn't it, already in the part? I want you to try and think of something of which you are truly grateful for, of which you had no part to play in, but it was absolutely necessary for you to have someone else or something else happen to you to bring you into this state of thankfulness. I was going to start off by suggesting and give Steve a heart attack by saying to you all, I'm sorry to mention this, but we have a debt of over $2 million as a church. Got you thinking, all right. Now, what would happen if someone in this congregation paid for that complete debt that we had, and overwhelmingly, of which we were responsible to pay for, but say they paid for it? I can just see the sweat pouring, and Megan patting Stephen's head over there, as with Megan over here, that point there. We would be truly thankful. Now, I would normally get you maybe to turn to the person next to you, but I won't do that, being COVID safe. But I want you to think of some sort of situation that you may have been in. And I think it's very hard to actually think of a situation apart from us knowing that we're Christians. And so the story today that we're looking at from God's Word, the Bible, picks up on these two things. Something to be truly thankful and grateful to God for. But we'll come to that in our time of Bible teaching today, either with our kids or with us in our Bible adult teaching. Let me pray for the children that might be here or listening in at home. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for children. We thank you for their simple faith in Jesus and the responsibility that we have as parents and as a church to teach them about the things of you. Father God, we pray for those young people today at home or here who are learning about you and during the week at Scripture. We pray that they may grow in their knowledge and love of Jesus. And we ask this in His name. Amen. All right, I just turn around and say good morning to people. Welcome to church. It's good to see you. This little bit in our service is a time where we're reminded that we're not alone here. we don't come just on our own to church to worship God, but we come as his little family to worship him. Fiona's going to continue our time of worship today. Thanks, Fiona.
Welcome, everybody. It's lovely to have everyone here. And I just want to remind us that what we actually come together to do each week is something of eternal significance. It might not be seen by the outside world, but we are taking part in the building up of the body of Christ. And we know that what happened 2,000 years ago was something very important and very significant for those who do believe that what Christ did on that cross, bearing our sins in his body, is something that impacts our lives today and anybody else who will have faith as well. God wants us to die to sin and live for righteousness. And it's only by Jesus' wounds that we have been healed. We're just going to take a moment now to reflect on our own lives and choices and decisions before we join together in a time of confessing that we haven't lived completely the way God would like us to, whether or not we're aware of it. In obedience to God's command, let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves. Let us return to the Lord with repentance and faith as we pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May we hear the wonderful assurance of God who reminds us that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives us in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on his name. Coralie is going to come up and share with us God's word. You might like to turn to Luke chapter 5. We're going to be reading a section from 17 to 26 and then chapter 7, 36 to 50.
Beginning at Luke 5, verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As Christians, we see how central Christ is. So please stand as we affirm together the extraordinary uniqueness of Jesus. Together. Christ is the image of the visible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things in earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
Please open up your Bibles now to Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. You'll find that on page 1031 of your pew Bibles or in the handout inside the bulletin that our welcomers lovingly and kindly and greetingly gave to you as you came in this morning. A game that I remember playing as a younger person, can't really say that I've played it in the last 10, 15 years as an adult, let alone 20 years possibly. I can't remember the last time I played this game. Not even our grandchildren yet, but hands up if you know the game Stuck in the Mud. Have you played it? Okay. I kind of like to think, I'll just explain to you, for those who may not know the game of Stuck in the Mud, it simply is where a boundary is set around, it might be a playground field, and one person is in and everybody else is allowed to run freely. And the person who is in has to try and tag everybody else. And if they're tagged, they become stuck. And that means that they actually have to stand with their legs apart, and someone who's not been tagged has to choose to actually crawl through the legs of that person, that child or whatever, or adult, and free that person up without possibly getting caught themselves. That's a fun game. It can be lots of fun, calling out and yelling through. And I kind of think it'd be a great game to play in the mud, you know, to play actually, get how messed up you would get getting played and playing that game, trying to crawl through the legs and getting all that mud all over you and choosing to do that so as to rescue a friend who's calling out to you, or an enemy, you know, calling out to you to actually free them. I won't get you to play it today, but if I see some of you playing at morning tea time, I might just join in with you, all right? We have two passages before us this morning from Luke's Gospel. Chapter 5, verses 17 to 26, and chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. And they are two stories that Luke records for us to be certain of the things that we have been taught regarding Jesus and what he had come to do for us. Two familiar stories, I think, for us here at Abbotsford Anglican. Stories that we may have heard of and been had sermons on much before. In particular, these two stories speak of who Jesus is and with what authority he had come, like we have with all the other stories that we've heard in Luke's Gospel up to now in our sermon series. There are two stories that grant us the assurance that Jesus is God, and as God, has authority of God to forgive sin. Our sin, our sins. They're two stories that teach us that we can be certain that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or as we heard read to us this morning by Fiona from the words of Psalm 113, I think, as high as the heavens are above the earth, So great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Or in, for some of us, term, God has no carbon copy of it. That'll tell you how old you are, all right? No carbon copy of that. Or no hard drive of which it's on. Or it has nothing in the cloud to when we confess our sins. God casts them as far as the east is from the west. And these two stories that Luke records for us is for us to be certain of that. But also, to this certainty, God is to be praised, and proof of which is in our heartfelt thankfulness to God. So there are two stories of God's loving mercy and grace being the means, and faith the key. Faith in who Jesus is, that he can and has and will forgive our sins. So turn with me now to the first of our stories in our Bibles, Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. The story begins with one day, verse 17, and in a house, verse 18. It could be any day and any house. Luke doesn't tell us when or where, it's not important. But what is important is what Luke does tell us. Pharisees and teachers of the law were there with Jesus, and that the power of the Lord, the power of God, was with Jesus to heal the sick. Who were these Pharisees and teachers of the law? They were educated Jews, ones who saw themselves as the custodians or the guardians of what was the Jewish faith and doctrine. They'd be the kind of people who would declare themselves to be the defenders of Jewish orthodoxy, what God said of himself in his law. And so these are the men that had come from every village of Galilee, Luke tells us, and from Judea and Jerusalem. Look there, okay? There wasn't just a few Pharisees there in this house. There was obviously a large number. In fact, such a large number, very likely, that the house itself was contained fully, mostly, by Pharisees in the house, sitting there. Okay. And we read later that there was a crowd, and I gather that crowd that those men who brought the paralyzed man to were a crowd for whom they couldn't get through because they were outside looking in the window because Jesus' reputation had gone before him, and they're outside looking in. But inside the house, there are Pharisees. And they've come from well over the known region to listen to Jesus. But what is a very important, what is very significant, is this question here as to why are they there? As to why the significant number of Pharisees and teachers of the law were there and had come from many places, Luke actually tells us why in a very subtle way in verse 17 that can be overlooked very quickly. Very easily. Note there, he says, and they were sitting there. They were sitting there. There was there where Jesus was in the house. Can you remember the significance of what Luke records the word sitting being again? Sorry, David? Sit down to speak, and the one who had authority would be the ones who would speak. And so Luke's saying here, these Pharisees are here gathered together, not simply as an audience or congregation listening in, which I take it they were, kind of like what we are here, but remembering that sitting indicated for teachers of God's law, it was a demonstration of their authority as teachers, as ones who saw themselves to have the authority in the matters pertaining to God and his law. So this encounter was to become a face-off, in a way, between Jesus, between who really has the authority of God. So the situation awareness, the situation is set there before us, and it can easily be overlooked, all right, by that there. There is a face-off here. Large crowd of Pharisees sitting in a room, listening and waiting to hear what Jesus has to teach. And they've come from all over. So there's not just a few, there's a large number there. And there's a crowd outside looking in as spectators, rubbernecking, finding out what's going on. So it's a face-off between who really has the authority of God. And knowing this, most likely, when Jesus saw the men and their faith in Jesus to heal, including the paralyzed man, making their way through the roof at this time because they couldn't get through the crowd, and this would have taken some time to actually get through the roof and to lower this man down in front of Jesus. And the effort that they were going to bring him to Jesus to be healed, Jesus uses this opportunity to make it very clear as to who has the ultimate authority of God, the one who can forgive sin. And so linking the two, as he sees this man now lying before him on his mat, the rubble around and the people going around and wondering what's going on, linking the two, this man's sickness and his and our greatest problem, sin, Jesus declared that he had that authority. In verse 20 there, look there with me, he says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." I can just imagine his mates sitting there, standing there going, "We didn't come here to have your sins forgiven. We've come here to have him healed, you know." But Jesus obviously knew this man's greatest need, as he knows our greatest need is not the healing of our bones and our muscles and our sicknesses, but the greatest healing of which Jesus can give to us, because we live in this fallen world as a result of sin, is to have that sin forgiven and to hear God say to us, "Friend, friend, your sins are forgiven." Look there at verse 21 and following. The Pharisee and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks such blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." The emphasis in this story is not on the healing of this man, but actually on the fact that Jesus had the authority and has the authority to forgive sins. The purpose for healing this man was that those present and those reading like ourselves might know the certainty that Jesus is God and that he alone has the authority as the Son of Man, the God-appointed person in history who would come to forgive sin. So why is this story here? God wants you and me to know that Jesus has the authority to forgive our sin. We can be certain that he can, that he has, and that he will forgive our sin. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verse 9. Or in Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." The second of our stories is a few chapters ahead, and it's on page 1035 of your pew Bibles, or continues on in your handout in your bulletin. Turn with me now to chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. This story is here to remind us that proof of forgiveness in our lives will be seen in our heartfelt thankfulness. I'll say that again. Proof of forgiveness will be seen in our heartfelt thankfulness to God. Once again, it's interesting to note that Jesus is in the presence of who? He's in the presence of Pharisees again, okay? And one particular man by the name of Simon. And this man, Simon, has invited Jesus back to his house as his guest for a meal. It's most likely that there are other Pharisees present. One commentator mentioned that, like tax collectors, Pharisees weren't that popular, and friends may not have been come easy for the Pharisee, or more likely, they were picky as to who they would choose to be their friends, and they had a reputation for not wanting to, or who they particularly wanted to be seen with. Again, it's a story by its ending, verse 49, over who has the authority to forgive sin. And again, Luke is recording this here, again, mindful of his big purpose, so that we might be certain of the things we have been taught, and to link that with those who are lost to God, us who are sinners, who need to be found and brought back into peace with God. Jesus is the one who has the authority of God to forgive sins. But chiefly, it's a beautiful story, is it not? It's a lovely story. How wonderful it is to know the peace of sin forgiven, as this woman obviously demonstrates in the way in which she responds to Jesus, in her truly being thankful. At some point in the meal, we're told, verse 37, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learnt that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume, whether she already had it around her neck, which women did in those times as perfume, or brought it along with her. As she stood behind him, as Jesus reclined at the table, at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kneeling down, I gather, kissed them and poured perfume on them. We're not told how she was able to gate crash the dinner, right? Or why she was allowed to come in. Maybe she had some association with Simon, or those at the door knew her. But she's in there and she's been allowed to come in. Nor do we know yet why she was weeping, wetting Jesus' feet with her tears, wiping them with her hair, kissing them, and pouring perfume on them. At first, it seems an awkward situation. And we question, why would Jesus have allowed this to continue, let alone Simon, his host? We assume Jesus had good reason, which later is confirmed. Eventually, there is an intervention. Luke tells us, verse 39, that it comes with some sarcasm. Once again, the question on the Pharisee's mind is, who does this Jesus think he is? Look there with me there at verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him, that's Simon, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner, which indicates to me that Simon has had some association with this woman or knows of her. At this point, Jesus answered Simon with a story. Simon, I have something to tell you. Oh, tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wept my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Again, I find, like last week's passage and a number of these ones, confronting. How often am I the Pharisee, Simon? And I gather we could let ourselves also think the same of others other than ourselves. Jesus said to this woman, "Your sins are forgiven." It's important to note here, Jesus is not pronouncing the forgiveness of this woman's sins because of what she has done. It's really important to note that, because what she has done is a result of what God has already done in her life. At some point in her life, she's heard or seen and Jesus and heard the message of forgiveness of sin from God, and she is truly thankful and has come in to be in this meal. No matter what embarrassment it might have been for her, to say, "This is how I want to say thank you to you, God, to you, Jesus, for it all." It's not because she's done these things to Jesus, pouring the water, wiping the tears, doing this, that she has proven that she is worthy of forgiveness. No, she does those things as her way of saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins and cleansing me clean." Great was her sin. Great was her need for forgiveness. But the funny thing is here is that in the eyes of God, no sin is greater than another. And this woman's sin is no greater than Simon's. But in order to show the illustration of the two, you know, she has been forgiven much and is grateful for much. At some point in the past, prior to this encounter, this woman has heard something of Jesus' teaching that has reassured her, given her the certainty of her sins being forgiven. And she, in her beautiful way, shows she is truly thankful. How we respond to God's forgiveness in Christ may have an effect and influence on those we see and hear. The other guests there at verse 49 began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Maybe others, by our response to God's forgiveness, may even be moved by God's loving mercy and grace to ask the same. Who is this Jesus? Who is this one who can forgive even my sins? Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." God would have us hear the same certainty this morning, the same assurance. Your faith, knowing and accepting who Jesus is and what he has done for you at the cross, he and his forgiveness has saved you. God is at peace with you. And you with God. Jesus has the authority of God to forgive sins, our sins, your sins, my sins. And he's saying to this woman, and he says, he's saying to us, go live each day with the certainty of this peace, that if we confess your sins to God and he is faithful and just, he will forgive your sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we go back to God and say to him, God, remember what I just prayed, that sin I confessed, he would say to us, what are you talking about? As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Jesus, yes, has the authority to forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. We can be certain that Jesus is God and has forgiven sins and can and will forgive our sins. He's done that at the cross once and for all. Let me pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for all the wonderful things in life, but above all, we give you thanks for your amazing love shown towards us in Christ Jesus, for the means of grace, for the hope of glory. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, today as we gather together and every day for the peace that you have with us and we with you. Thank you for sending Jesus into this world to give us that certainty. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing now. And, oh, after a psalm, of course.
Just before we do have the psalm, just take a quiet moment to reflect on what God may be pointing out to you from those passages. A famous man once said, as surely as sparks fly upward, people were born for trouble. At some stage in people's life, everyone does suffer. But in a Christian's life, suffering has a unique comfort, as we will find in this psalm. Please join with me as we say together a little bit of Psalm 119. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. Please stand as again we reflect on what the life of Jesus 2,000 years ago, for those who have faith, it continues to have great power in our life. His death has great influence and change, as does his love. So please stand as we sing together.
Thank Christ alone, my hope is found. My strength. of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day.
So clearly we're going to stand in the power of Christ. Please sit or kneel for prayer. The Lord be with you. Please join with me as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Tina is going to continue to lead us in prayer.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, me, and all believers. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your saving grace given to us in Christ Jesus. Guide and guard us to be strong, persevering people, living a life pleasing to you. So, Sovereign God, we come before you now with prayers and requests, beginning for the world that you have given us, a world full of chaos, pain, and suffering. Please give us and all leaders and people reason, calmness, and an understanding of compassion, especially for the leaders in this world. All leaders across the world. We're all fragile, they're human, and they make mistakes. They have failures, just like all of us. Pray that they would make decisions which are right, fair, and just to all people. And out of chaos, peace may come. And we particularly think of the war between Ukraine and Russia. soften the heart of Putin. Speak to him, O God, through your Spirit. For you are a God of mercy. You are a God of miracles. We pray for his heart to be softened so that he may be merciful to the people of Ukraine and swallow his pride and realize the error of his ways. May the people in Russia be wise and perceptive to the politics involved in this conflict. Thank you that those in Russia who have realized the mistake and the terrible things that are coming out of this whole situation and conflict. Thank you, Lord, for the perseverance and faithfulness of Christians in the Ukraine. May they keep standing firm and continue to reflect your glory and grace. Please deliver people from this war. Grant comfort to the grieving, injured, refugees. Give people protection from assault, and may they have provision and safety. And may the people be aware that you love them, despite is what's happening to them and around them. For we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. O Lord God Almighty and everlasting, we pray for believers here and around the world that all will stand firm on the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ may capture the hearts of generations to come, all generations, from the youngest to the oldest, that your Holy Spirit will transform the world, Australia, and revive the church. We pray for believers who are persecuted, so many in over 60 countries, O Lord. Give them grace to endure, to stand firm, being aware of your love and comfort in their trials. And may all Christians stand with them in prayer and support as they suffer in your name. O Lord, we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you for your word, O God, as it goes out to the world. Your word the people have died and struggled to keep, to save, and to spread throughout the earth. O gracious God of salvation and mercy, we thank you for those who seek to share your gospel and your saving grace to others. We thank you for David Athanese, our chaplain at Concord Hospital. Thank you for his care for the people around him. Give him grace and the words to say to people as he visits them each day, and opportunities to share your love in Jesus. We thank you for the Pharisees too in Connemara, WA. May your message of redeeming love be welcomed and accepted in this area. We ask that in this harsh and arid environment, you will provide provision, refreshment, and encouragement each day, and protection in their travels. And while they're away in April, we pray that the people at St. James will continue to grow and be enthusiastic to be more like Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Almighty Creator, the Lord of hosts, thank you for bringing us to know you by making your love shown through us. To us through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being light and life to our world, calling disciples to be witnesses. We praise you for dying and rising to life to give hope and life to all who believe in your name. Father God, you have made heaven and earth and the sea that is all in them. We thank you for our great Southland, for its beauty, richness, and its harshness. We ask that our leaders will be guided by your truth to make wise decisions so our land may be a light to the nations. We especially ask for strength and wisdom for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and his cabinet, Don Perrottet, and also our Mayor and Canada Bay Council, that they may bring peace and harmony to the people. They make decisions and wise moves for, and laws and guidance. We thank you for our community here, O God. We thank you for our church at St Andrew's and the many blessings that we have here. We pray for our people in our area, that they will be drawn to Christ, that they will see and know his love and learn of the life that they may have because of him and through him. The Holy Spirit will make them known to them that Jesus would be their Lord and Saviour, especially at preschools, playgroups and scripture classes, and our interactions with people generally in this area. Make Jesus known to them, O God. Just pray that, Lord, we can continue to reach out to these young people, these people coming through life in this difficult world, which is so selfish and has abandoned you, O God. We thank you that your word is preached and taught in our church. Help us to read and inwardly digest and grow in the time spent together and in your word through the power of the Holy Spirit. We commend to you those who struggle, who are fragile, sick, or in need, and ask for comfort and strength and an awareness of your love, especially thinking of Lynn and Graham Clark, Jean Steele, Fiona McGregor, Kay Woodcock, Max Spicer, Jennifer O'Neill, and Brian Cave. May we, your people, continue to grow as followers of Christ. Help us to live as Christ here in this difficult world, to stand firm and never give up, full of the hope of the future with God, a home, inheritance, and a joy of seeing Jesus face to face, rejoicing in heaven. O Lord, bless and keep us when we trust in you, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us pray the set prayer for the day. Father, you have taught us to express our love for you by prayer, denial of self, and works of mercy. When we are discouraged by our weakness, give us confidence in your love. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
As you came in today, you would have received a bulletin, news and notes. I just draw your attention to those, especially to read and congratulate our wardens, Diane and Jennifer, and our parish council members as well too, of which I won't list everything that's in there, but we've got, well, I might as well. There's David, Linda, Janice, Steve, Stuart, Younglan, and our parish, and Janice is happy to remain our safe ministry rep, Graham Clark, our auditor, and Linda, our synod rep. And we're very thankful to God for these volunteers and commit them to our prayers and support for 2022. So can we give them all a big clap? Thank you.
shall